going to stay put for that.
They can put out a pretty nice bridge.
I don't think they have a
Okay, we call the Committee on Judiciary back to order out of recess.
Theme park.
Wildlife.
When we...
Recess is over.
Recess, yeah. Over there, the children on the end. We were on House Bill 3259, which we closed on, so we're going to reopen the work session on House Bill 3259.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you may remember this afternoon, this bill comes from Representative Barker. I walked through the dash of seven amendments. I could do that again if you like, but I kind of walked through them and don't see
any of the committee members want to hear the dash sevens again?
In detail.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
She's
okay.
Kidding.
We did, in the interim, get a fiscal to the dash sevens, and in the 2011-2013 biennium, it's $110,000. In the 2013-2015 biennium, it's $98,000. And then there's here something about a summary of revenue impact. It says $75,000 and $100,000. This is a fiscal impact statement, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's
Ways and Means. Okay, you want to put the dash seven in? We haven't done that, have we?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash seven amendments into House Bill 3259.
Okay, Co-Chair Barker has moved the dash seven amendments into House Bill 3259. Any discussion on the amendments or objections? If not, amendments are in.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3259 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3259 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Any discussion on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks.
And to the proponents of the bill, I want to emphasize that I do appreciate everything that private investigators do. I do, however, not have an intention of supporting the bill, and my reasoning is that in order to get a driver's license, a person is required to provide a photograph. Driving is something that's about everybody in this day and age has to do, certainly where I live. So what's going on here is, and there may be precedent for it somewhere, but I don't know of where it would be, but what's going on here is we have something that citizens are basically required to give the government, a photograph of themselves, that is now being turned around and sold to a for-profit enterprise, which private investigation is. Granted, private investigation does do many investigations at government requests, but I don't want to subject people to basically the requirement that they provide some, essentially the requirement that they provide a photograph of themselves to a for-profit enterprise if you trace the chain back far enough. That's the philosophical issue. Again, I appreciate everything that private investigators do, but my vote here will be no for that reason.
Okay, any other concerns with the bill? Okay, call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Olson? Aye. Representative Chopper? Aye. Representative Tomei? Aye. Representative Warren? Aye. Representative Freeman? Aye. Co-Vice Chair Garrett? Aye. Co-Chair Krieger? Aye. Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
House Bill 3259 is moved to the Ways and Means Committee. We don't need to carry it. Okay, we're going to go back to the front of the agenda from this afternoon and open a public hearing only on House Bill 2673, 2674, and 2675.
Chair, members of the committee, I think it would be best to ask a group of people to come up here. We were off the guard talking about these bills in as a group. And Rob Beauvais in the back, you may see him with an easel. I don't think he's drawing a picture of us, but... And they have a proposal as it relates to all three bills and how to handle this issue. This issue basically is that we treat possession of controlled substances based on whether they're classified as a Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 as B and C felonies. In many counties, particularly for first-time users, they're treated as misdemeanors. Representative Nolan says you can't.
Representative Tomei to still be able to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Good?
I'm fine.
Okay, great.
You can go in any order you want.
I'll get started. Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. This is Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I am happy to report that after several lengthy work sessions, there is a consensus agreement as to these concepts between the District Attorneys Association and OCDLA. We've worked long and hard on this. This relates to possession charges of controlled substances. We're not dealing with manufacturing. We're not dealing with delivery, just possession. And I'm grateful to tell you the chart that I had sent you last night. You can forget about the chart. The chart would be like way too confusing right now. But this will, these bills address the intersection between schedules of drugs and classifications of crimes. And the principal goal here for the criminal defense lawyers was to address the need of some of our clients who ended up with possession charges of controlled one substances, which are B felonies. And the problem with B felonies are you can never expunge those. So once someone got a possession charge that was a B felony, they were a B drug felon for life, regardless of the circumstances of the case. That proves to be very problematic for our clients. We wanted to get some relief for them. And so one thing that would be important for the committee to be mindful of, that merely by making a crime a C felony kicks in all sorts of relief that are present in existing statutes. A C felony can be expunged unless expressly excluded, but these are not. So a C felony can be expunged. A C felony also can be given misdemeanor treatment, either immediately at the time of charge or upon successful completion of the probation. So simply by going from a B felony to a C felony does net the accused a great deal of opportunity to correct their ways and hopefully at some point get a conviction expunged. So we've been wrestling on this sliding scale between schedules of drugs and classifications of crimes, and we've now come to an consensus agreement here. And I think I'll just share the podium. Maybe Mr. Bovet might want to take over. I don't know.
Members of the committee, co-chairs, Rob, for the record, Rob Bovet, district attorney from Lincoln County. I think I'm here only speaking on behalf of myself, because this is all so fresh. I've got no authority to represent ONEA or any of the usual entities that I represent here. But let me just kind of walk you through the five bullet points that I think will help explain things. First off, you have to divorce your brain from the schedules. We actually divorced five main drugs of abuse from the schedules back in 2005 in our anti-meth legislation. But put aside all the schedules for a moment, and let's just talk about levels of crimes first. So the five main points of what we think we're proposing here this evening. First-time users with user quantities. This would be one-tenth or less of what is currently defined in statute as substantial or commercial quantities would be A misdemeanors right out of the gate. They would still be eligible for conditional discharge, all the other incentives we built in, but right out of the gate it would be reduced, all these would be reduced to A misdemeanors. Second time possession, or if someone had more than a tenth of substantial quantity, but less than substantial quantity, would be a C felony, the kind of charges that Ms. Meyer was just describing to you and why it's important to many of these folks to be able to clear their record after they've got clean and have been in recovery. At a third level, substantial quantity or more, which is, again, currently defined in the statute, would be a B felony, but we would give our judges the discretion to reduce those to a C felony upon successful completion of probation. Two additional elements that we kind of have agreed to fix as part of the arrangement here to make it all global and work so we don't have to come back to you again is to fix the marijuana rescheduling bill from 2009 without boring you with all the details. This legislature passed a bill requiring the Board of Pharmacy to reschedule marijuana from Schedule 1. They rescheduled it to Schedule 2 and reschedule meth from Schedule 2 up to Schedule 1. The net effect on the Oregon criminal laws of that change was exactly nothing.
because it didn't amend any of the criminal statutes to which it related. It was largely what I perceived to be an oversight. We would fix that issue. We would conform that to the basic reality that we've outlined up here. A possession of less than an ounce would be untouched. It would still be a violation as it is today. We would also conform all of this reality to House Bill 2174A, which you passed out last week, which proposes to break out the primary three prescription drugs of abuse, so we don't leave those out in the weeds and have to come back and fix those later, so we globally take care of it all. So that's kind of a nutshell summary of what we think we've worked out for you here.
There you go. I'm Dan Norris. I'm the district attorney in Malheur County. Co-chairs, members of the committee, I want to talk a little bit about the policy, and I know it's late. This is a fairly decent compromise, even though all sides have had to swallow a little bit. In terms of treating first-time small amounts of even heroin, methamphetamine, common drugs of abuse as a misdemeanor, you should see significant savings in indigent defense costs and in community correction costs. And the trade-off is a good number of these people, the first time they get arrested, get hauled to jail, they're through experimenting with drugs. And we're not going to use our precious treatment resources on that group of offenders, hoping that just the shock of the arrest will get them out of the system. It's going to allow folks who have abuse problems to get further into the system, which is the trade-off that you're going to have, because they're going to have to come back a second time before we get serious about having some teeth to force them into treatment. The reason the C felony is important is it's the only tool that we realistically have as prosecutors to try to make drug courts work. Because it's not the 90 days in jail that I can give you, it's the felony conviction, which frequently provides the incentive for folks to want to complete drug court. And the B felony is indicative, when you have a substantial quantity, from our perspective, that's dealing. But the trade-off is, if you can complete probation, you're probably clean, and we ought to give you some incentive to get through probation and treatment, even with a B felony, to give Ms. Meyer's clients the incentive they need to ensure that they have the ability to get out of the system. I'd be glad to answer any questions, but that was the policies that we considered in crafting this.
Good evening, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Kushwa, also with the Oregon District Attorneys Association. First thing I'd like to do is thank the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, Gail in particular, Counsels Taylor and Knott, for the enormous number of hours they put in trying to get us there with your panoply of three bills that you see in front of you. We also want you to know that these proposed changes obviously cannot be drafted by tomorrow evening. Our preferred method is for you to pass out 2673, which will then go to the Senate Judiciary Committee to incorporate all of these changes. We have spoken with the chair of the committee, all of us together. He has agreed to make all of these consensus changes in his committee. This would then go to Ways and Means, which is where it was originally destined to go. So I think that what you'll see here is a really good package of policy and cost savings in these tough times, and you're seeing a consensus amendment, conceptual consensus amendments. We're very pleased with the result. In addition, I know Kevin Campbell's in the audience, for the Chiefs, and they are also fine with these amendments, so you know that. So I think that those are all the people that we have in agreement.
Representative Wissnett, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm confused on the second time or more. Is it second time and more, or is it you're talking about second, third, fourth, as long as the amount is smaller now?
Co-chairs, Representative Wisner, it would be, those are, the or is truly the two ways to get to a C felony. It's your second time, so you could have a user quantity the second time, and you'd be elevated up to a C felony, or you could have more than one-tenth of the user quantity, even the first time. So there's two avenues to get to C felony. It doesn't matter if it's your fifth time or tenth time, you never get higher than a C felony unless you have a substantial quantity or more.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So if we're trying to reduce costs, and we talk about in driving DUIs, we get three strikes. I was wondering if the second time, you know, you want to give the judge the authority to go back to a misdemeanor. Did you discuss that in your...
Co-chairs, representative, we did not. That was opening up another can of worms, so to speak, and we didn't go down that road.
Any further questions?
So there, well, six. It does say all drugs regardless of schedule, but we're talking schedules one and two.
Correct.
Right.
Co-chair's representative, I think there might be some Schedule 3 drugs impacted as well.
With the 2174 piece of it?
You're not talking about making Schedules 3.
Yeah, we're just talking 1 and 2 here.
No, no, it would, you're right. It would just, I think it would just be, and I say this, the Schedule 1 and Schedule 2, but then we have the five breakouts, and then we have the three new breakouts, and those aren't schedules. The schedules are irrelevant. But I think you're right. They are either all Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 or formerly Schedule 1. Schedule
indeed.
Two. Yes.
Thanks. And follow up. It says fixed marijuana bill, and that I'm hearing to mean you're going to include marijuana in with the other Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 currently classified drugs.
Co-chair's representative, yes, because okay. Marijuana we divorced from the schedules in 2005. So even though the 2009 bill directed the pharmacy board to reschedule marijuana, it had literally no meaning and no impact on criminal law. So we're going to essentially carry out the intention of that bill by really conforming it to this new proposed reality.
I want you to make sure, Rob, that he understands, because he'll probably be the carrier.
I think I'm tracking, Mr. Chair.
Any other further questions on it, on the bill? Thank you, guys. We had two other people signed up, Randy Wampler and Ed Walls. Do you fellas want to come up and say a few words?
Sure, Steve is also on that.
That's fine. You must have missed him here, I guess. Yeah, we did. Any order you want, just identify yourselves.
Co-chairs, committee members. I was prepared to do a presentation on behalf of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, but I'd like to defer that to this point after listening to what the district attorneys have presented. I think we will move from an opposed position to a neutral position until we've had a chance to review.
Could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm Sheriff Dan Staten from Multnomah County. And so at this particular point, I'd like to defer at this point rather than addressing these issues.
Co-chairs of committee, I'm Lieutenant Ned Walls with the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office also, and I'm also going to defer along with the sheriff.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Randy Wampler, Director of the Forensic Services Division for the Oregon State Police, and I'm just here to point out one effect with regards to this bill, and that's regarding the reduction in the penalty from felony to misdemeanor will then preclude these individuals from falling under ORS 137076, which is the DNA collection bill or collection law for convicted offenders. And I've provided you some information with regards to the collection of those samples, the number of samples of drug offenders as opposed to the whole population of the database, and then in addition a chart there that also reflects the number of database hits to unsolved cases that we have achieved from those individuals that submitted samples as drug offenders. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wampler, again. Good to see you. The crime lab, I'm glad you're here. So the crime lab is going to be who's implicated in a little bit of a larger way here by the measurement of the quantities now, because that's going to drive the level of the charge. And I feel comfortable about that, but I wonder if you could just talk about that a little bit, because that is something that the committee should be familiar with, I
think. Sure. Co-chairs, Representative Hicks. The laboratory, when we receive drug samples, we receive them and we weigh every sample that we get. So when we receive these samples and we can see that they are approaching a substantial quantity or any other type of sentencing enhancement, for example, there are times when federal sentencing enhancements occur, we target, pay attention especially to those and do any measurement that we do is a precise measurement. And because of our accreditation requirements, we have, many standards, policies, and procedures that are reflected in our measurements, which include weighing of substances. So that's a common practice for us.
The existing practice, even that this is not going to significantly impact. Would you?
Correct. I wouldn't anticipate any impact to us with regards to this.
Thanks.
Anything further?
Nothing.
Thank you, gentlemen. You heard that we're going to use a vehicle in House Bill 2673, which they'll be developing, and we'll move it tomorrow. So we're going to take 2673 and carry it forward or roll it over, whatever term you want to use, till tomorrow. We'll close the public hearing on these bills. Is there anything else you want to stay here and talk about, Mr. Schaffer?
I love you, Mr. Chair. I'm ready to go.